From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 14th. I'm Abby Larico. Hundreds of people each have a unique story of what happened to them on May 16th of last year.
I checked on my friends to make sure they were safe and taking shelter.
We'll hear from some of the people affected by the tornado in their own words on The Gateway. The group leading the effort to overturn Missouri's more Republican-friendly congressional map wants Secretary of State Denny Hoskins to make a decision now on whether it qualifies for the November ballot. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, that's not likely to happen.
Officials with People Not Politicians want Hoskins to approve their referendum, suspend a map passed in 2025 targeting Representative Emanuel Cleaver, and guarantee a map approved in 2022 that's friendlier to the Kansas City Democrat is in place for this election cycle. But Hoskins isn't likely to make a decision until late July or early August. And he also dismissed the idea that the 2022 map would be in effect if he approves the referendum then.
I would say that it's too far along in the election in order to change the maps for 2026.
The Missouri Supreme Court ruled that People Not Politicians' submission of referendum signatures did not automatically suspend the 2025 map. In Jefferson City, I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri legislature passed a bill yesterday that supporters say provides rights to, quote, a child still alive during or after an abortion. Members of the House voted 102-46 to pass the Senate bill, which now goes to Governor Mike Kehoe. Through the legislation, anyone who would kill or attempt to kill a fetus that survives an abortion attempt would be guilty of first-degree murder. The legislation has strong support from House Republicans like St. Louis County Representative Holly Jones.
It breaks my heart that we even have to have a bill like this.
Republicans repeatedly spoke up to defend the legislation while Democrats decried it. Before the final vote on the bill, protests erupted from the House galleries on the second floor. Kansas City Democrat Representative Patty Manser said this will create a threatening environment for medical providers.
This bill is actually about threatening physicians at a time when Missouri is struggling to hang on to physicians.
Fetal viability is generally around 24 weeks of pregnancy. According to KFF Health Research, abortions at or after 21 weeks of pregnancy are uncommon. The passage of the legislation comes the same year that Missouri voters will again vote on abortion rights at the ballot box. The Missouri legislature also yesterday passed a bill requiring that pornography websites make sure that users are at least 18 years old. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the legislation mirrors rules already implemented by the Attorney General's office.
Back in November, Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway enforced rules requiring major providers of adult content to implement verification laws that could include providing an ID to access pornography sites. Pornhub, a major website in the industry, blocked access to Missouri users because of those rules. Speaking earlier this week in the Senate, Senator Mike Henderson spoke on why the legislation also needs to be in statute.
We have a responsibility to protect minors from harmful online content, and this bill ensures children do not have access to adult content or protected through age verification requirements.
The legislation now goes to Governor Mike Kehoe. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen and the city's budget director are suing the state-appointed Board of Police Commissioners. Alderwoman Daniela Velazquez, Alderman Michael Browning, and Budget Director Paul Payne contend the gubernatorial board overseeing the city's police department imposes an unconstitutional, unfunded mandate. Among other things, the lawsuit filed in St. Louis asks for a judge to return control of the police department to the city and declare parts of the law restricting what city officials can say about the board's actions a violation of their free speech rights. Several other lawsuits have been filed by city officials over the board's legality. This comes as the board is demanding another $68 million in spending from the city in its own lawsuit filed earlier this month. A spokesman for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department says his agency and the Board of Police Commissioners do not comment on pending litigation. Washington University in St. Louis has received a $200 million donation for its new School of Public Health. In a statement announcing the donation, school leaders say it's the largest gift in university history. The donation comes from the Bursky Family Foundation, which is led by WashU alumni Andrew and Jane Bursky. Andrew Bursky is also the chair of the school's board of trustees. The School of Public Health officially launched earlier this year. It aims to tackle issues including chronic disease, mental health challenges, and access to health care. WashU says the $200 million donation will support faculty hiring, scholarships, and research. A Missouri man who's been to space will now be among the stars in the Astronaut Hall of Fame. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports.
Tom Akers was born in St. Louis, grew up in Eminence, and got a degree from Missouri University of Science and Technology. After a short time as a teacher, he joined the Air Force and then went on to work for NASA. Akers says he never set out to go to space.
Wasn't anything I ever really dreamed of. It's just when doors opened, fortunately, I was qualified to apply for things I became interested in. So I've been blessed.
Akers was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. His NASA career included multiple shuttle missions, repairing the Hubble Space Telescope, and was part of history's only three-person spacewalk. Akers will be inducted into the Astronaut Hall of Fame at the Kennedy Space Center on Saturday. I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
An EF3 tornado tore through neighborhoods and homes in St. Louis nearly a year ago. Roofs are still tarped, windows still boarded, many families still displaced and waiting for aid. Last month, St. Louis Public Radio's Meet Me project invited residents to an open mic to share their stories of the day that the tornado hit and every day since. Here they are in their own voices.
I did what most of us do. I checked on my friends to make sure they were safe and taking shelter. I did not take my own advice.
The way in which the sun changed over my home, I knew that something was shifting.
By the time the winds picked up and I realized what was happening, I was standing at Grand and Lindell, and I was looking at the steeple of that church there. And to my right, it was dark green. And to my left, it was bright blue.
About 2:30, the phones sounds, sirens went off, and it was shelter in place. Okay, typical like sound, siren. I'll take a look at it, but I'm not gonna do anything different.
Instead, I stood at my front door, watching the storm as it passed over my house. I saw large hail falling. I saw the wind bending trees almost to the ground. And in the middle of it, I called for my cat to come inside. But my cat was wiser than me. He ran across the yard and found shelter underneath the porch, protecting himself while I stood there, exposed to danger.
And then about 2:32, shelter in place now. I called my partner and he was out in the streets telling me, trees are falling everywhere. Shelter in place now. I love you. And it was that moment that I was like, is this what you say to someone before you die? You know, like, that was a different kind of I love you.
I didn't know that it was a tornado. I did not hear anything. I didn't even know my phone was going off because the sound was so loud. I shook like a leaf for a long time. When I was able to get down the steps and just sit in the chair, I couldn't even speak to him. He had to go up to see what I couldn't tell him. Once he got up there, he comes down and says, oh, we got a skylight. A permanent skylight, thinking that it was just one part of the roof. The roof of the house came up from the very back. I have no idea where it landed.
We come through the community, just what she said, devastated. Trees and people outside looking, and the lights are out, and I mean, just pure havoc and disdain.
So I walk up the steps and my partner walked through the door at that moment, but we're both walking in a huddle of glass. And when we looked up, all the windows on the back of our home were gone.
And so we just tried to make our way home. And when we get home, my windows is gone. My roof messed up. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. So we boarded up my roof. We boarded up my windows. And then about a couple of weeks later, the tarp flies off of my roof. And back up in January, I had let my insurance go. Because it had got up to like $800. I don't even have a mortgage, but my insurance was $800. I'm like, I can't afford that.
Then 3 days later, rain. So my damage went from not just the roof, not just the bricks falling on the ground, but now I have mold, extreme mold. I can't live in my home. I have been out for 11 months today. I still have mold. I have about 20 tarps on my roof. I'm not still knowing how I'm going to respond to this. Should I cry? Should I scream? I'm going to meetings. I go to meetings. I'm listening to people angry, screaming.
I woke up and started using my gas grill. Then I heard a neighbor say, "Miss Claire, I got some bacon." Somebody else said, "I got some hot dogs." And another person said, "I don't have anything, but I'm hungry." And just like that, something beautiful was born. For the next 2 weeks, I cooked every single day, feeding anyone who needed or wanted a meal, no questions asked. Because in that moment, we weren't just neighbors anymore, we were family.
Okay, I have a long list here since May 16th of houses that I've worked on. I've got 3 houses on Enright. I rebuilt several parapet walls. I did a structural relay on a bulge on the side of a house. 2 houses on Leduc, 1 house on Raymond, 1 house on Moffitt, 2 houses on Minerva, a house on Cold Brilliant, a house on Lee, a house on Harris, and a house on Holly. I've been working my ass off, excuse my language.
The FEMA guy came out, he showed no empathy, he was rude. He had been with FEMA over 20 years. He didn't turn in nothing about my roof. His main question was, how did you miss some windows? How your windows messed up? Excuse my French, I almost said, what the F you mean? Why don't I have windows? It was just a tornado.
If this were a wooden city, our death toll would be significantly higher.
Most of the help that I've gotten has been from nonprofit agencies. They don't want to take me through a lot of changes. They don't want to know what size underwear I wear. All they want to know is, can we help you? Because recently, with all the going to the meetings and the promises that have not come through, I've begun to have headaches. Because it's always something, but the something is never for me. This has been so encouraging to me, to people repeat what I've been going through.
And I don't care who get mad at me. I am a fan of Ms. Spencer, our mayor. But where I have a gripe is, where's the money? My last words, time is up.
You just heard the voices of Brendolyn King, Xavier Phillips, Tabitha Hunt, Elmer Simrell, Yolanda Owens, Sandra Blackshear Miller, Clara Washington, and Patricia Miller. Neighbors in St. Louis, 1 year after the tornado. And that piece was produced by our Luis Antonio Perez. This week, St. Louis Public Radio is exploring the struggle to recover from the tornado, the flailing government response, and the fight for North St. Louis. You can find more of our coverage at stlpr.org/torn. Tomorrow, we ask, are we prepared for the next natural disaster? The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.